So just get the text here. It'll be on the board as well. 2272. Sarvabhuteshu yapashyed Bhagavad Bhavamatmanah Bhutani Bhagavati Atmani Esha Bhagavato Tamaha Sarvabhuteshu yapashyed Bhagavad Bhavamatmanah Bhutani Bhagavati Atmani Esha Bhagavato Tamaha Sarvabhuteshu Yapashyed Bhagavad Bhavamatmanah Bhutani Bhagavati Atmani Esha Bhagavato Tamaha. And repeat. Sarvabhuteshu yapashyet Manatmanah Bhutani Bhagavati Atmani Esha Bhagavato Tamah Sarvabhuteshu yapashyet We'll repeat the synonyms. Sarva Bhuteshu. In all objects. In matter, spirit, and combinations of matter and spirit. Yaha, anyone who pashyet sees Bhagavad Bhavam, the ability to be engaged in the service of the Lord. Atmanah, of the Supreme Spirit Soul, or the transcendence beyond the material conception of life. Bhutani, all beings. Bhagavati, in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Atmani, the basic principle of all existence. Eshaha, this. Bhagavata Uttamaha, a person advanced in devotional service. Translation. A person advanced in devotional service sees within everything the soul of souls, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Consequently, he always sees the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the cause of all causes and understands that all things are situated in him. Purport. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.45. So it's a short purport, but in the speaking on Shastra, there is two options in this case. To continue on to the next verse, because generally we comment on the verses which Acharyas comment on, or we continue also till we get to a purport. But because this is a quotation from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, so the disciples of Srila Prabhupada have written a commentary and also quoted a lot of the purport is also directly from Srila Prabhupada. So in this case, we will not continue to the next verse. Because also, it's quite an important set of three verses, this one and the next two which are coming. So it's good that they're commented on individually, because it's quite a rich topic. So before that, we'll do some pranams. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Namom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jay Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaurava Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So I will read some short parts because it's quite a large purport. It's many pages in the 11th canto. But I will read just some parts and then we can comment. So disciples of Srila Prabhupada have written, in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, then he quotes from Bhagavad Gita 6:30, Yomam pasyati sarvatra sarvam cha mai pasyati tasyaham na pranashyami sacha me na pranashyati. For one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. Srila Prabhupada comments, a person in Krishna consciousness certainly sees Lord Krishna everywhere, and he sees everything in Krishna. Such a person may appear to see all separate manifestations of the material nature, but in each and every instance he is conscious of Krishna, knowing that everything is a manifestation of Krishna's energy. Nothing can exist without Krishna, and Krishna is the Lord of everything. This is the basic principle of Krishna consciousness. So we can continue step by step. So we can look at this verse. So this is a very important verse. We are currently in the 22nd chapter of the Madhya Lila. So a couple of chapters ago, we heard the story of Srila Sanatana Goswami. So him and his brother, they actually were working within the Bengal government as basically leaders, ministers, prime ministers. So they were very influential people in the government, just like now some people are hoping. We have one devotee, so they're hoping, or maybe she will become have some position in the American government. Similarly in Guyana, I was just speaking with one senior devotee this morning, who also is leading the movement in Guyana. And one of our youth there, he's actually very interested in taking position also in the government. His dream actually is to become the president of Guyana and to slowly increase the spirituality in the country. Similarly, if you go to Fiji, by the grace of His Holiness Srila Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, although he passed away in 2001, but his presence is very strongly felt, especially in the zones which he was presiding over. So in Fiji, one of his disciples is in charge of the Ministry of Finance. And then also, the main grains and bread and other products which are distributed amongst the whole country is Prabhupada disciple, one Prabhupada disciple, and his brother initiated by Srila Narayan Maharaj. So they also have a very big impact in the country. So there's many things around the world. If you go to Mauritius, we see also in India that devotees are having some positive impact also on the government. But this was a different case because these two brothers, Sanatan and Rupa Goswami, they were actually taking the names, Dhabir Khas and Sakar Malik, that they were taking actually the Islamic names. And apparently they were more inclined in that direction. Of course, that is until they became involved with Lord Chaitanya's movement. So later, because of those circumstances and him wanting to go in a different direction, Sanatana Goswami found himself imprisoned. So then Rupa wrote to him, sent him a letter, and they made a plan that he should bribe the prison guard while the, what do you call that? The one in charge of the prison, I forget the name. The person in charge of the prison was away. So then he had to do some negotiations and eventually he managed to escape. So he basically gave a certain amount of gold coins because they were leaders in the government. So they were very, very wealthy. They were extremely rich. They were, now we say millionaires, but they were not millionaires. They were multi-millionaires. So they were very, very wealthy. So they gave certain amount of thousands of gold coins in order to escape. And he said that, don't worry, even if the when the leader of the prison comes back, if he asks where I was, just say that I had to pass, I had to do my morning, you know, passing of the different byproducts of the body. So I was passing, and then before, then whilst taking bath in the Ganga, I drowned, because he had all the chains on, you know, the prison chains. So he said, just tell him that I drowned and I disappeared in the Ganga. So this was the plan. So then he escaped and he wanted to meet Lord Chaitanya in Varanasi. So he had to travel quite a long way along the Ganga, but avoiding the, especially within the nearby regions, avoiding the sight of the public and other government leaders, because obviously people will be aware that maybe somebody has escaped from prison. So therefore he made his way slowly, slowly to Varanasi. And then there in Chandrasekhar's house, Lord Chaitanya was actually waiting for him. He knew he was coming. So he was very happy, because obviously Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Lord himself. So he everything is a plan. Why these two very powerful brothers, they took positions in the government, why they apparently took the role of following Islam, and why Haridas Thakur, the same thing, why Lord Chaitanya has a specific plan to teach via his devotees. So we may wonder, why is it that a pure devotee of the Lord was in prison? Doesn't seem fair, right? But actually everything is Krishna's plan. So this was his plan. So he knew he was coming, but Chandrasekhar was confused that, how do you know he's outside? How do you know who has come? In those days we didn't have WhatsApp and Telegram, email, all of these things, Facebook. So then slowly, slowly Lord Chaitanya embraced him. So this is a very sweet point. And we are learning about this in the next verse especially, because the next verse will describe the Madhyama Adhikari. So Madhyama Adhikari means the one who knows the science of relationships in Krishna consciousness. Now this is discussing Uttama. So the Uttama Bhakta or Bhagavat Uttama, they're also included in the knowledge which the Madhyama Adhikari has, but they have also a higher realization. But in order to teach others and in order to preach, then they come down to the Madhyama platform. So the Uttama Adhikari also is expert in the science of relationships. So Lord Chaitanya, not only was he grew up as a great scholar, actually as a topmost scholar in the most important part of India at that time, especially for academe. And not only did he become such a great sannyasi and a great bhakta, but he was also very expert in the science of relationships and caring for devotees. So he was embracing him. It seems strange that why would God embrace somebody? Because God is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everyone should be paying obeisances at his lotus feet. But the Lord himself, he says that mad bhakta puja abhyadika, that my devotee, they have the same qualification as myself to be worshipped. This is the mood of God. God is not a solo project. God always likes to be with his devotees. Once we have His Grace Pushkar Prabhu is here. So we have many, but Pushkar Prabhu is one of them. Prabhupada disciples who in Miami, there is a Shamarani Didi also, she's there. So we have many in England also. We have so many artists who are working with the BBT. So Prabhupada was saying to one devotee that, why did you paint Krishna alone? Krishna is always with the devotees. So whether it's a cow, whether it's another animal, whether it's a gopi, whether it's one of the cowherd boys, whether it's Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, Krishna is never alone. So Krishna, he is such a sweet form of God, such a sweet form of the divine, that Krishna is more interested. Lord Chaitanya is avatari, so he's not different than Krishna. It's not that he's avatar of Krishna. He's exactly the same as Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya also, just like Krishna, he also has this sweetness in his relationships. So we can see that in the pastimes of Krishna, especially in Vrindavan, generally when we think of God, then we think that we like to worship, this is those who are Trinitarians at least, because not all Christians believe this, but mainstream Christianity does due to political reasons, but Trinitarians believe that Jesus is God. It's no different than the Father. So the Trinity means that not that there is three separate components of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, but they are all actually one. So they believe that Jesus is God. So people believe in Jesus because He's God. People believe in Allah because He's God. People believe in Yahweh because He's God. If you go to Africa, they will say, I believe in Unkulunkulu because He's God. But in Vrindavan, they do not believe in Krishna because He's God. But they believe in God because He's Krishna. This is the difference. So this is the sweetness of Krishna. The Vrijavasis, they do not feel so inclined to who is God, but they feel inclined to who is Krishna. And because Krishna is God, then they also worship God. This is the mood of the Vrijavasis. So Lord Chaitanya himself, coming as a, in the form of a devotee, he's very expert in how to deal with the devotees. So this is a lesson for all of us also. So then after embracing him and so many things, Sanatana Goswami was feeling unqualified that how can the Lord embrace me? How can he touch me? I'm so fallen. Then he started instructing him. So then that was two chapters ago. Then in the previous chapter, he's explaining the science and many technical aspects of Krishna consciousness. And now most of the very famous verses, there are many chapters, like Lord Chaitanya, Five Features, but this particular chapter is also considered one of the most important from Chaitanya Charitamrita. And we find many of the most important foundational points of our philosophy are contained within this chapter. All the way from the basic ontology of the self, who are we? Are we the body? Are we the mind? Are we the false ego? Or are we the soul? All the way up to Raganuga Bhakti. So it's a very deep chapter. So Lord Chaitanya is emphasizing here in a great way the importance of understanding the Uttama Bhakta. So there will be many other verses in this chapter describing that. So here we're seeing that there is an interesting play on words that we see. Sarva Bhuteshu, so Bhuteshu Bhagavat Bhavam Atmanaha, and then you hear Bhutani Bhagavati Atmani. So it seems like, just like in the, let me just pull it up, in the 11th canto, that the BBT devotees, they have also quoted another verse. So this is in the 11th canto, second chapter 45, but in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna also says something different, that he says that for one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. So it's also a very poetic usage of words, using the same words but in a different order to emphasize a different point. So yo mam pashyati sarvatra sarvam cha mayi pashyati tasyaham na pranashyami sachamena pranashyati. So we find the same thing, pranashyami and pranashyati. So this is the same kind of literary beauty which we find in the scriptures in both verses. So one who sees everything in God, they also see God in everything. So many of you know His Grace Ravindra Swarup Prabhu, who's now in upstate New York. He was formerly leading the Philadelphia temple. So he saw, in Buddhism you have these things called koans, right? They're like certain sayings, like sutras. Sometimes they are like plays on words. Sometimes they can be also confusing. You find that especially in Zen Buddhism. So he says for our Vaishnava philosophy, we have the same kind of sutras which Srila Prabhupada wrote in English. For instance, Krishna is non-different than everything, yet nothing is the same as Krishna save and except His transcendental form and pastimes, like that. Srila Prabhupada writes different short phrases like this which summarize our philosophy. Everything is Krishna, yet nothing is Krishna, like that he says. Because there are many levels on which we understand the Lord. So apparently it's a contradiction that how is it that everything is Krishna, yet nothing is Krishna except His transcendental form, pastimes, name, qualities. The reason is because there are different facets or there are different ways of seeing the same truth. So therefore, all Vaishnava philosophy has a foundation of this understanding. Sometimes it's wrongly attributed as the Hindu Trinity, or sometimes they say the three aspects, you know, like you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It is not the same thing, but we understand that the Supreme Lord is approached in three different ways. He's seen in three different ways. One, he has his impersonal feature as a Brahman. Vadanti tat tatva vidas tatvam yajnanam advayam. But that truth is all one, non-dual. So the first platform of understanding the Supreme Lord is as being everything. Everything is God. So sometimes we wonder that why do these people always say everything is God, everything is one? Because on the impersonal level, on the energy, on the level of some kind of energy, as a Brahman, then everything is one. But despite being only impersonally omnipresent everywhere, the Lord is also localized, right? As the Paramatma. Yadgana Madvayam Brahmaiti Paramatmaiti. So as the supreme individual being. It's not that all individuals are one, because there is a Paramatma. Just like here we hear of the Uttama Bhagavat. So there are different levels of devotees. So this is the highest. So then from there we come to the Bhagavan platform. Brahmaiti Paramatmaiti Bhagavan Iti Shabdyate. So this is the Supreme Lord is understood in these three ways. But he is the same. So without over explaining that for the interest of time, we will just bring that parallel to this verse. Because this verse, we find repetition many times of this concept of Bhagavat and Bhagavan. Therefore, Chaitanya Charitamrita itself explains that there is two type of Bhagavats, that there is Bhakti Rasa Patra. One Bhagavat is the person Bhagavat. And then the other Bhagavat is the book Bhagavat. So we can also understand in that way. But especially in this verse, Bhagavad Bhavam Atmanaha. So Srila Prabhupada explains the ability to be engaged in the service of the Lord, the bhava. One's bhava literally means the thing which is you're naturally pulled towards, you're naturally inclined towards. You have that natural state. So one who has a natural state of wanting to serve Bhagavan, that is what is being emphasized here. Bhagavad Bhavam Atmanaha. And then, so that is a qualification. One who is always completely engaged and attracted only to serving the Lord. And then, Bhutani Bhagavati Atmani. So all beings in the Bhutani, all beings, Bhagavati in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So not only he sees everything within God, but he sees God within everything, and therefore not only he serves God, but he serves all of God's creation and all of the living beings in the right way. Sometimes in this world we want to serve, but due to a lack of knowledge, we do not serve in the right way. So therefore it's explained that in order to serve living beings properly, first we must know who are we. Therefore we find the same thing, Sanatana Goswami, we find the same thing in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Keyami, Keine Amai, Jape Tapatroi, that who am I is the first question we should ask. Therefore, our particular school of Vedanta starts first with the question of Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Inquire into what is the spiritual aspect of life. And then, Kayami, and then, why am I suffering these threefold miseries within this world? Because if we do not understand that, then how will we understand the deeper parts? The first thing is, who am I? And the second thing is, relating to me, why am I suffering? And then when we understand that, we keep going deeper, then we actually understand that everything is the plan of the Supreme Lord. And we are suffering because we have chosen to be separate. We've chosen to be in a separate relationship than in service to the Supreme Lord. But because it's unnatural for us to be outside of love, it's unnatural for us to be outside of healthy relationships, it's unnatural for us to be in charge of everything because we are very small, then we suffer. That is the reason we suffer. So the one who is Bhagavat Ottama, they understand this. So this is the topmost devotee. The word Uttama has different ways it's explained. Ut means up, just like in English you say the word up, right? Upper. So it's a cognate. And tama in grammar is used to be the superlative case. But Srila Prabhupada also explains, because Prabhupada gave also more bhakti types of etymology to these words. So he explains that utkata tamaha yasmat, that which is above ignorance, that which is above darkness. That is the uttamadhikari. So that is the Bhagavata Uttama. So we find also later in this verse, there is different, I'll just find it here. There's other definitions which are given of uttamadhikari. So we also find in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, this is another, Rupa Goswami gives another definition. Shastra yukcho chanipuna sarvata dridanishchaya praudha shraddha adhikaraya savakta uttama mataha. So one who is very expert in the scriptures, and he's always engaged and he's always engaging others in the following of the scriptures, and his faith is extremely unshakable. So this is how he's defining. Generally, kanishta adhikari, kanishta means they're not fixed, not steady. They're still, just like a child, when the child is learning to walk, just like we have a beautiful child here. So when the child is very young, they start learning to walk. I don't remember what age, I think around 2 years or something. Parents may know. Around 1 or 2, or I don't know, around 2 years I think they start learning to walk. So when a child is learning to walk, they can walk, but they're not very steady, so they fall over regularly, right? So in the same way, kanishta adhikari, their faith is not completely steady, but it will become steady by execution of devotional service. Then a madhyama adhikari, his faith is a bit more mature. So his faith is very steady, he doesn't have doubts, but sometimes he finds difficulty in also convincing others. So, but his faith is more or less strong. So he's steady in who he is, but the Uttama Adhikari, he has such a great power that he can convert. Just like Lord Chaitanya, he converted so many Mayavadis. Nowadays we don't see like real Mayavadis, very rarely. Just like I saw one video on YouTube in Hindi of the Karan Shankaracharya, so he was criticizing ISKCON and Srila Prabhupada, that they are always criticizing our Mayavad philosophy. And then he gave some arguments, but they were not very elaborate like they would have been 500 years ago. Just any Bhakti Shastri could have defeated them, actually. When you can see on YouTube, it's a famous video. So it was not so impressive. Although still, we have to respect them because they are still following some level of discipline. They have the right epistemology. They have the right faith in Shastra. Although their interpretation is wonky, but still we cannot say they're... We still have to respect whatever good they're doing. But at the same time, we can see that their qualification is not like the Mayavadis Lord Chaitanya used to debate with. They were real scholars. They were real Sanskrit scholars, Shastric scholars. So, praudha shraddha adhikareya and shastra yukto. So this was the qualification of the Uttama Adhikari. So Lord Chaitanya gave that example and the six Goswamis gave that example. And later we have many other great acharyas, like Baladev Vidyabhushan, we know about Vedanta Sutra this past time. And Srila Prabhupada himself, he was such a great Uttama Adhikari and great scholar that he could defeat anyone. Anyone that came to him, they could defeat him. So once he said to Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he says that I'm standing very tall like a lion because I'm undefeatable. Anybody can come and I can smash their nonsense, Srila Prabhupada said. And we see so many debates, so many recordings of Srila Prabhupada convincing people who are engaged in all types of useless material philosophy and bringing them to understand the absolute truth. So this is the nature of the Uttama Adhikari. And when one is Uttama Adhikari, the Bhagavat Uttama, they are becoming the position of Acharya. So Acharya means... Charity means one who is acting in a specific way, in a specified way. Just like in Hindi you say chalo, no? Chalo. So that comes from chara in Sanskrit. So acharya means one who has distinct type of behavior, distinct character, distinct types of movements within this world. So the acharya, just like we have our pictures of the acharyas here, you can see on the back wall. Why are they given so much awe, reverence, respect and worship? Because they are such great beings that they are considered to be non-different than God himself in the position of teaching. Therefore, Krishna explains also in the end of the Bhagavatam that Acharya Mam Vijaniya, that one should not see this Uttama, this Bhagavata Uttama, one should not see this Uttama Adhikari as non-different than me, because they are my representative. So in that sense, they are representing me 100%. Acharya Mam Vijaniya, na avamanyeta karhichit. One should never envy this position of the Acharya. We saw many people, they were envious of Srila Prabhupada. The most famous example is in Bombay. So everyone knows that story. So there were many people. We also, what was his name in Bombay? I forget the name. They were fighting. Mr. Nair, yeah, Mr. Nair. Then also we see other pastimes, just like he was debating different, if you see like in France, he was debating one of the Christian leaders who was denying that we should not be killing animals in the name of Jesus Christ. So he didn't want to accept that. Later they found that this particular leader of the French Protestant church, he was found dead with drugs and prostitute because he fell down. Because he made offense, he was envious to a great Acharya. So there are many examples you can find. So the power of an Acharya is that he converts those who have sincerity to surrender to God. And those who are envious, then Krishna himself, he will deal with them in the right way. Because there's always a reaction to when you make offenses to great devotees. So Krishna says that not only is the Acharya to be considered just like me, but Navan Manyeta Karhichit, Namartya Buddha Asuyeta. So we should not think, second line explaining, we should not think them as a mortal human being. So we should not think they are conditioned soul. Sometimes, because Srila Prabhupada said many strong things. If you read his books, Srila Prabhupada was very powerful, like his Guru Maharaj, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So he said many strong things, and as somebody who is humbly and very meekly trying to share Krishna consciousness, that's my primary service. Sometimes you meet people who even they become disturbed. I met many people. They were interested, then they read something, they became disturbed. They said, I read you, Prabhupada said this in his book, he said that. He said, these people are demoniac. He said this about gender role, so many things. But actually the role of Uttamadhikari is that he presents the absolute truth. And if we approach in the right way, then we can understand. So we have to approach in a humble mood and not think they're human. So some people relativize Srila Prabhupada's explanation. Oh, he was an old man from Calcutta, they say. So he didn't know Western culture. So therefore people find it certain things unappealing. This is the thing which Krishna directly is saying not to do. Na avan manyeta karhichi. Do not say that Srila Prabhupada was a conditioned soul. Every single line which Srila Prabhupada writes in his book is 100% correct. Every single line. But the problem is that if we are not approaching in the right way and we are not learning under the guidance of the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, then we can misunderstand. So many people read, but because they were not listening with the service inclined ear, as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati used to use that phrase, then they misunderstand. So Srila Prabhupada said many strong things because we need to be woken up. Just like when you're in a building with fire, you cannot say, my dear friend, I'm very careful, I have to be very careful, I have to be very woke, and I have to be very sensitive to your emotions, and I do not want to say anything rude to you, but please, would you leave the house, it's on fire? That is not the role of Guru. The role of Guru is to say, get out of the house right now, it's on fire, you're going to die. That is the role of a Guru. So everything Srila Prabhupada said, which was strong, it was in the mood of waking us up. It was in the mood of trying to shake us out of our bodily consciousness. Oh, I'm a man, I'm a woman, I'm homosexual, or nowadays I think so many other things, which up to 31 genders you find. So male, female, trans, up to 31, I think, at least in Canada they have this philosophy now. So in Vedic philosophy, we were studying this with His Grace Hari Parshad Prabhu. So Vedic philosophy explains, it's not that we are fanatic, that we do not also understand that people may have a certain chemical influence in their brain which creates different types of gender identification. But Shastra only accepts three. So there is male, female, and other gender. This is the So there is, it's not that we have to, but we do not extend to 31 unnecessarily. So Srila Prabhupada said all of these things which are very strong in order to wake us up, and the effect is that many thousands of people became inspired. But we have to be very careful that when we preach and when we quote Srila Prabhupada, that we do not also do it in the wrong way, that people become uninspired. Because as you know, they said about, just like in Russia, obviously communism, so they said that there is two main threats to our country. One is rock and roll music, because it was very revolutionary and it was promoting more the American concept of life. So obviously the Russians at that time, they were not interested in that. And the second thing, which the leader of the KGB said, the second biggest threat to our country is the Hare Krishna movement. So Srila Prabhupada said all of these things as an acharya, because the absolute truth must be spoken regardless of time, place and circumstance. Even if it's not emotionally sensitive to the fluctuating emotions, every year there's a different sentiment, right? But the truth must be written and given. And Prabhupada would deliver in a way which inspires people. So when we repeat the message of Srila Prabhupada, we also have to be, although we do not compromise the message, we have to also be sensitive to present it in the right way. So this is the Uttamadhikari Krishna is explaining. The Acharya, Namartya Buddha Suyeta, and the last point that Krishna is explaining, Sarva Deva Mayo Guruhu, that the Guru, the Acharya, the Uttama Bhakta, is also considered to be the sum total of all the devas, all the demigods. So he has that qualification, that the sum total of all the demigods, that you find in the Guru. That's why we do not emphasize so much demigod worship. Some other Vaishnava lines, they have, depends, like Madhvacharya was even more strict than us. But some lines, they include a little bit more elements. But Srila Prabhupada chose not to within our temples, because the acharyas themselves, according to the scripture itself, they're the sum total of all the demigods. So time is very short in Kali Yuga. Just like we have one scripture, Bhagavad Gita, one mantra, Hare Krishna mantra. So similarly, we have a shortcut process, that we do not have to think about the 33 koti demigods, but we can think about just the Guru. And by worshipping the Guru, automatically demigods are included. Sarva Deva Mayo Guruhu. Not only the sum total, but greater. So this is all of the, there are so many points, so many verses we can explain, but this is the import of this verse today. So I think only time is almost over. So if there's any question or comment or reflections. Hare Krishna. Prabhu in the back, in the yellow.
Thank you, Prabhu. In South India, at that time, that was early 70s, there was the Shankaracharya of the Shankarites. He wanted to join with ISKCON, I mean, you know, work together. He said, we can work together. He was telling Prabhupada this. We can work together. And Prabhupada said, no. And he said, well, why not? He says, Prabhupada said, we don't drink tea. Something as simple as that.
Yeah.
We don't drink tea. And also when Achyutananda was preaching in South India, then one of the Madhva Acharyas, because they have many, he was criticizing, because this is early 70s, he was criticizing that you people in ISKCON, you're not devotees. And then Chaitanya said, so what is greater, liquor, drugs, these intoxicants, or chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra? Mm. Well, then naturally the Madhvacharya has to agree. Yeah, chanting of Hare Krishna, you're right, okay. So.
Wow, very nice story.
Also, I was just curious, 33 million demigods, have you ever found where that's stated in scripture? Because I've seen some arguments up on the internet about it's 33,
yes.
Not 33 million, you know. So I was just wondering, you know.
Thank you for asking that, because I'm in a Srimad Bhagavatam group. So this was a question I asked, and His Grace Hari Parashara Prabhu is there, a few other very many senior devotees. But because it's a very vague thing, because Srila Prabhupada himself writes in the couple of places, if you do it in the Veda base, 33 million. But of course, whatever Prabhupada says is based, has to be based on Shastra as well. So then we thought, okay, Prabhupada says it in English, but maybe there is a specific shloka somewhere, there is a specific reference, Upanishads, Vedas. So we could not find, there's no conclusion to this, because we're not here. We can ask Srila Prabhupada if we're very qualified, but most of us who are, you know, we can't see Krishna when we look at the deities, we cannot directly speak to Srila Prabhupada, we cannot ask easily. But we left it as an open thing, but we understand that based on scriptural verses, 33 koti, I might have the article here, I wrote an article about it after that, but I can send it to you, I think it's on my laptop. Sorry? Do you know where?
Mahaprabhu was having a kirtan. There was the whole sky was filled with the cloud.
Yeah.
And Mahaprabhu came out, he clapped like this, and in that section you see 33 crores.
Mm.
And the 11 Rudra, 12 Aditya, Akadash Rudra, Tadash Aditya, and Dikpals and Ashwini Kumar Das. These are 33 main head. Then they have their section, million each under. And then they have another 10 million, like this 33 million.
Yeah, because there is a verse, as Prabhu explained, I had it on my laptop, but I don't have it here, which explains exactly what Prabhu said. So I forget which text it's from, but if anyone's interested, you can take my number, I'll send it to you. But exactly what Prabhu explained. So we did not find so much on 33 million, but we did find that 33 koti, koti can also be translated as variety. So Shastra does not say there is or isn't 33 million, what we found, but what we saw was that this particular verse is listing the different, you can also find it in Google if you, but listing the 33 varieties. So exactly what Prabhu was listing, Adityas, all of these. So I can send you that verse. But because Srila Prabhupada wrote, that also must be true, but obviously it needs more research. So there is Shastra speaks of 33 specific categories, but then within that, as Prabhu is explaining, so we can also look in Chaitanya Bhagavat, it's also there, that each demigod will have the assistance. So we can keep expanding. So this is the conclusion. So yeah, thank you Prabhu, both of you. And then someone here, was it yourself?
What's the difference between Paramatma and
Bhagavan? So, I didn't go into that so in depth. So Paramatma is the localized feature. So this is like Shirodakshaya Vishnu. So inside of every atom and in the heart of every living being, Vishnu is present there. Or it depends, if you're taking Krishna as your supreme being, then becomes Krishna in your heart. But ultimately, Paramatma is localized. And Bhagavan, just like you have all-pervasive, which means everywhere, present everywhere, so that's considered like the energy of God. Everything is God. This is also God, because this is Brahma energy of God. But inside the atom, there is a person God, which is Paramatma, and which is guiding every living being and is present inside of every atom. And then there is a transcendent form of God in the spiritual world, which is Krishna. But because it's non-different, Krishna is also here present as a personal personality of Godhead. Because it's one, Advaya Gyan. It's Advaya, Yad Gyanam Advayam. So Krishna is simultaneously all of these. But in terms of bhakti, then of course Bhagavan is the supreme, because that's the supreme quality. Just like the sun, the most important thing is the sun god, not just the sun rays or the sun planet, right? So the most important thing is Bhagavan, and from that then we have the localized and the impersonal aspect of God. Does it make sense? Bhagavan means Krishna as a transcendent being. So in the spiritual world, when Krishna came to do display pastimes, Bhauma Leela also, but he is also present in your heart, that's Paramatma. And then Krishna as transcendent means in a transcendental location. But they are non-different. So Bhagavan is also here, just like you have the deity, this is also Bhagavan. If you read the books, this is also Bhagavan, because Krishna is directly speaking in the books. So does it make sense? It's the same truth, but experienced in different ways. Yes, Prabhu?
Thank you.
Thank you, Prabhupada. So I can give you that verse. You can read it more also. Prabhupada explains. It's in the Bhagavatam.
So I wanted to just clarify that, you know, although Prabhupada had a lot of respect for everyone, you know, his spirit soul, when it came to impersonalism, when he was confronted with that philosophy, it became very strong. Like once he was in a gathering and he was waiting to speak, or maybe he spoke, and then impersonalists started to speak. He told the devotees, start kirtan, right now, start kirtan. He didn't want to hear it. Another time when one of his disciples was reading an impersonalist Bhagavad Gita, and Prabhupada said, well, what do you think about this? And so the devotee started to say some of the things that he liked about it. Prabhupada became so strong. He took the book and he banged it on the counter three times. He said, Krishna's a person. Krishna's a person. You know, Krishna's a person. So and we understand that it's such an offense to the Supreme Presence of Godhead just to reduce him to some kind of an energy, very hard to follow and love something like that. Yeah. So I just wanted to make that point.
Definitely, yeah. As it says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Mayavadi, Krishna, and Aparadi, that they are the offenders to Krishna, because ultimately it's because they're envious of God. As Prabhupada uses this phrase, the last snare of Maya, right? That we have so much suffering due to material attachments, so we're contaminated by karma. That's why bhakti is jnana karmadi anavritam. So first we cleanse ourselves of material conditioning, external activities. That's why Srila Prabhupada rejected that Mayavadi, because they shouldn't be taking intoxication, caffeine and other things. They should be very renounced. They should be strict celibate monks who are very renounced and hardly eating anything. That's Mayavadi. No music, no comfort, nothing. But nowadays they're enjoying and then they're saying the philosophy. So the last snare of Maya is you renounce the world and you also reject personhood, because if I cannot be the center, then there's no such thing as personhood. If I'm not the best, then nothing exists. Just everything is impersonal. There's envy of God. Did somebody?
Hare Krishna. When you, this is more of an illusion, but when you said that there was the French priest in the church, it brought to mind the Chand Kazi story of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when Chand Kazi, he stopped kirtan in Navadvip, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Chand Kazi and he had a long debate with him, and the Kazi said that the Muslim scriptures allowed eating meat, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's point was so brilliantly crafted. It was the cow gives us milk, which makes us her children, and she is our mother, and the bull is our father because he helps us with agriculture and farming grains. So how can we kill our mother and father for food? So I just wanted to allude to that point.
Thank you so much for sharing that. So I think we should end, right? Because already 9 o'clock. So thank you very much to all of you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Alachua holy name festival ki jai. Shishi Radhe Shama ki jai. Krishna Balaram ki jai. Shishi Gauranitai ki jai.